even though I search with hope and determination, so often it turns into nothing but frustration. So then I kneel down to pray. Seem like I can hear the soft voice of Jesus.
Goodness, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Purpose for Godliness with Minister Daphne Smith, and I hope and pray Pastor Melvin Smith and the round table. Just thanking God for his goodness and for his mercy and for his grace. Oh my goodness, God is a good God, and he is so worthy to be praised. So again, thank you for joining me this morning. I'm here most weekends at 8 a.m. Pacific time, sharing with you the Word of God and planting the seed of godly purpose. And my desire is always to see that we, as the people of God, continue on with the work of the Lord. I mean, that's my theme for this weekend. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord placed in my heart. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So just to give you a little tidbit of what we're going to talk about, and in order for us to remain steadfast and immovable, we have to know God. We have to know the Word of God. We have to accurately handle the Word of God. And we just don't read the Bible, but we have to allow it to become a part of our lives. That's what I put down here. Penetrate our minds and our hearts. It shapes our thinking and our actions. It fills our mind so that we can detect false teaching, because that's what so we can detect Satan uses the scriptures for his own purpose. He twists it to sound as though it sounds like something familiar to us, or even make it sound like it's the truth. But we need to know how to handle the Word of God, to be diligent, to meditate on his word, so that we don't be vulnerable to error and to false teaching. So it is God's desire that we grow daily in our understanding of him and his word, so that we will remain faithful to the end. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's our theme for today, purpose for godliness, addressing your needs and planting the purpose of God in your heart. Amen. Amen. So we're going to play another song, and we'll be right back. I'm moving kind of slow this morning, but we're gonna play another song, and we'll be right back. And the songs I'm playing are just the songs that were on my heart. Part of my devotion as I was trying to, as I was praying and seeing what the Lord had for us this morning. So let's just worship the Lord. Not let's just worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord this morning and see what the Spirit of the Lord has for us. All right? All right. We'll be right back. 347-989-0144.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Thank you. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
And adore you, because that's really what it's all about. It really is. Seeking the Lord, seeking His face, seeking His purpose, seeing what He has to say to us about our issues, our needs, His purpose in our life, the ministry that He has given to us. And if we are not doing that, then everything that we are doing is for nothing. I don't care what kind of ministry you say you have or whatever. If God is not in it, then it's all for naught. It's all for nothing. So again, thank you so much for joining me, Minister Daphne Smith, Purpose for Godliness, addressing the needs of the people, which we all need Jesus, and planting the seed of godly purpose in your lives. Every weekend I've had some technical difficulties, but you know, I'm working through it, and there'll be some changes as we go on with this and as I learn more about this technology. But every weekend at 8 a.m. and as I said before, just sharing with you, I believe God's purpose. God's purpose. I see a lot of people that say they want to do ministry, but they don't have a clue. They really don't have a clue. It's about the money, the fame, the fortune, the mega this, the mega that. But I am, and I just feel the presence of the Lord, I am learning. I can't say I've learned, because that means I've stopped learning. I am learning that it is about God. It's about Him and Him alone. Amen. Amen. So listen, I'm going to play a little bit more of this song. I just feel like I want to worship God this morning. Y'all just hang on in there with me for a minute. I'm going to play a little bit more of this song, and then I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right.
Glory to you, Lord. I love you, Jesus.
I need you, Jesus.
how many of you really love the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, my goodness. The scripture says more than life itself. I'm telling you. We love not our lives to the death. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Just want to give a shout out to my husband, my pastor. The love of this life. Hallelujah to God. Pastor Melvin, what's up right there? Pastor Melvin Smith, pastor and founder of Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. Every Tuesday, 6 p.m. prayer and Bible study. Every Thursday. I just want to say, oh, my goodness, y'all got to come. I don't know what it is about Thursday noonday prayer, but yesterday was explosive. I ain't making this up either. Y'all got to come to noonday prayer every Thursday, noonday prayer. Sundays, 9:30 prayer, 10 a.m. Morning worship. Address is 381-386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Our pastor, as I said before, is Pastor Melvin Smith. Come by and just help us lift up the name of Jesus. And if any musician is listening out there and you want to help this ministry to grow in the Lord and the Lord places it on your heart, oh, my goodness, come on out and help us. Inbox me. I don't know why I'm saying this. Some, it must be a musician that's listening because I never do this. Inbox me on Facebook. Email me at purposedforgodliness@gmail.com. Amen. And you can do that with your prayer request and the call-in number for the show. And if you're out there listening right now, brother, sister, musician, call in 347-989-0144. All right. God bless. Okay, let's see what the Lord is saying this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start at the 51st verse, verse 51, all the way to 58. And you are free to chime in. 347-989-0144. Get in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Smith. All right. You got your Bibles? All right. Let's go. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. Oh, my goodness. We shall not all sleep. I don't know. For some reason, every time I read the word of God out loud, I get excited. Okay. Behold, I show you a mystery. Excuse me. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment. And when he said, well, we all will be changed, some of us to glory, some of us not to glory. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death. Where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But Paul says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our scripture for today, the ultimate victory. A motive, this is what my Bible says, ultimate victory, a motive for Christian service. Verse 38, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And just to give you a little tidbit of what I was studying this morning when the Lord placed this on my heart, in light of the resurrection, in light of the change that will happen in our lives. I'm talking to believers. And if you are not a believer in Christ, there is a change that will happen, but you're not going to like it. No. This change that I'm talking about is for believers. So Paul says, therefore, in light of the resurrection, in light of us being changed into the glory of the living Christ, in light of everything, oh my goodness, that will happen on that glorious day, the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the saints, all of that, in spite of, therefore, because of everything that will happen, in light of the hope that we have, oh my goodness, because listen, I'm paraphrasing this scripture, I'm paraphrasing, it's a scripture I think in Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart miserable, and I'm really paraphrasing, and also it says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, then we're miserable. If this is all we have, if this is all we got to look forward to, oh my goodness, who knew I would be stuck on therefore? If this is all we got to look forward to, then we are of all men most miserable. But here is the thing. This is not it. This is not it. This is not where my hope lies. And every believer in Christ Jesus that has this hope purifies himself. Listen, this is not it. This is not our home. So in light of everything that you just heard in the previous verses, Paul says, my beloved brethren, that means sisters too. So don't get it twisted, sisters. It is in light of everything that you heard, my beloved brethren, Paul says, because I love you so much, I just want to encourage you. This is what Paul is saying or said, because I love you so much because of the love of Christ that's in me, wanting the best for you. That's what the love of Christ is. The love of Christ wants the best. The love of Christ is never vain. Y'all read 1 Corinthians 13. It's never vain. It's never puffed up. It's none of that. None of that. So Paul says, in the light of all of this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. And just to give you a little, I'm not real great with Greek word studies. I do do it, but I'm not real good at it and have had several classes on it. But he says, be steadfast. It means to become steadfast. Become steadfast. This is what you are as a believer in Christ. Believers are steadfast. It really has to do with what you are as a believer in Christ. Become steadfast. I am steadfast. Be steadfast. Immovable. Be steadfast. Be secure. Be firmly placed. Be fixed. Be permanent. I love this. Oh my goodness. Be well seated. Be morally fixed. I saw this word, and me as a woman and getting older, and I see things that are happening with believers. And I know everybody don't agree with me, but holiness is still right. I just want to say that holiness is still right, and it does have It has to do with what we wear because of the Christ that's in me. All right, I just want to say that. And we are free to choose however we want to dress. But when I saw that word morally fixed, I just thought about so many things, because if people are to see Christ and to see Christ, and I'm not talking about pants, I'm not talking about what they call degenerated jeans, you know, jeans with the holes in them and all that stuff. No, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about at least when we show up, people ought to see Christ in us and not all the other stuff. You know, people ought to see Christ in us. We are morally fixed. Our morals are fixed because we are in Christ Jesus. What we say, what we do, where we go, how we dress, all of that, how we do our taxes, how we raise our children, all of that, how we drive our cars. Are we always enraged every time we get behind the wheel? Okay, now I know. I know I'm talking. So morally fixed, be steadfast, be morally fixed, be firm in your purpose. Let me say this, be firm in God's purpose, because God has a purpose and plan for all of us. Be firm in our minds, be securely positioned, not given to fluctuation or moving off course. Oh my good, by every wind and doctrine. Oh my goodness, be steadfast, be firm, not given to fluctuate. Don't be vacillating. I think that's how you pronounce the word. Don't be in and out, you know. And I know we all have our days. I'm starting to dislike saying that, because you say that and it gives people room to do whatever they want to do. And that's not what it means. We all have moments. People in the Bible had moments, but they were steadfast. They were steadfast even in the moments, even in fits of rage and depression and David with adultery. And Paul says, the good that I would do, I find myself not doing it. All of these people that we read in the Bible struggled in many, many areas. But the Bible says they were steadfast in their faith in God. Nothing moved them from their faith in God. Nothing moved them. And I dare to say this, and y'all can help me, 347-989-0144. Pastor said this, I think, the other day, and I'm probably paraphrasing. How can you say you love Jesus, and I'm steadfast in that, but you never show up? I'm just saying that. You never show up. You never show up. You never show up for anybody. You never show up. It's always about you. You never show up. It's always about you. I'm throwing a tantrum, and it's always about me. Come on now, but I'm steadfast. I know I'm teaching today. I'm helping myself. How is it that it works like that? And I want to say this for us as believers in the United States of America. I've never been overseas, and the Lord blessed me to go overseas. I'm going to go. But I do read and I do know individuals that have been overseas and have ministered and have some friends that live in Africa. And I see through social media the the struggle that they deal with on a daily basis. But yet they're steadfast in their love for God. Nothing moves them. They show up. They show up for church. They show up for ministry. When I say ministry, I'm talking about service. They show up. So Paul says, show up. Just be steadfast and movable. You cannot say you love God and then get angry because, and can, I'm all, y'all pray for me. You know, we are so fickle in the United States of America. You know, if pastor doesn't call out your name, if he don't say you gave a $1,000 offering, if they don't call your name, if they don't put you in the program, you get rebuked or whatever, whatever. You don't show up. Are we really steadfast then? Are we really steadfast? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. So steadfast, not given to fluctuation, not running here and running there. See, I can stay on steadfast till the end of this show. not fluctuate. It's a prophet over here, we run over here. It's a prophet over there, we run over there. It's you know, and Jesus told us, if they said it's Jesus over here, don't go. If it's, you know, come on now. We have to be steadfast. Then it says immovable, without move. That's the biblical definition. Without move, change of status or location. Oh, my goodness. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content because I'm immovable. I remember someone, I'm not going to say because they're kin to me, they're relative. I remember somebody was off frustrated because they were out here in California. And the Spirit of the Lord said, tell them this, whatever state they're in. They just looked at me. I'm telling you, whatever state you're in, Paul says, be content. Be content. Be, you know, immovable. Don't move from your place in God. Firmly persistent. Not moved away from one place to another. I'm telling you. We like, I can't say what the pastor wife said, but they're like this. We just church hop. We like, you know, church swapping, you know, like swap wives. We swap paths. You know, I'm mad at this one. I'm going over here. This one not saying this. I'm going over here. Come on now. Immovable. Don't move from your place in God. Firmly persistent, not moved away from one place to another, not moved by false doctrine. Every prophecy is not of God. And the Bible specifically talks about false doctrine. Okay. All right. Not moved by false doctrine. Always be steadfast. Paul says, therefore, in light of everything, the resurrection, us being changed into the glorious image of the living Christ, because of the hope that we have in us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, always, always. Can you just say always? Don't get stuck. Don't get stagnant. Don't be stuck on stupid. I'm serious. Don't get angry and stop. Don't let depression just hold you so that you stop doing what you're doing. Come on now. Don't let this world, the flesh, the devil, stop you from loving God, loving his people, moving on in the things of God. And it's difficult. The wonderful sister in the Lord, she tells me every day, it's difficult, but you got to keep doing it. You got to, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're angry, even when you want to throw in the towel, I'm talking to me, even when you know stuff is just going awry, it's just all over the map, don't seem like nothing is working, always growing. It is amazing to me, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody, it is amazing to me that physically when we see people not growing, we automatically say, I'm talking about physically, there are diseases where people don't stop growing. They age, but they don't grow. Okay. And we say, wow, we know something is wrong. But when it comes to those spiritually not growing, we have excuses. Oh, well, you know, the Lord knows it's okay. You'll make it. You'll do it. You'll get. No. Paul says always abounding. And this is not like a suggestion. It really is a command. Paul is saying be steadfast, immovable, always moving, always abounding, growing. That's what I'm saying. Always growing. Not just growing, surpassing. Always being excellent in the things that you do. Not comfortable with the status quo, even in church. And we'll latch on, I'm saying we because that's not everybody, we'll latch on to the status quo. We'll be stuck to it like glue. And when the Lord, hallelujah, tells us to come up out of our comfort zone, we start questioning God, rebuking the devil, saying it's not Jesus. We got to get 2, 3, 4, 5 confirmations. We like Gideon, you know, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. You know, we got to do all of it. Let 7 people, let this happen, let somebody drop something. You know, we got to do all of these things, bargaining with God. All of these things. And I'm not saying not find out if it's the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But we just question things, especially if it's ministry like serving others. Now, if somebody say you're going to get a house, a car, land, you're going to get a husband, a new job, $1 million going to be dropped at your door. We just believe that automatically. We believe that automatically. But let the Spirit of the Lord say, go and tell someone that I said I love them. And then we just in God. The devil's not going to say that. I'm just going to tell you that. Nah, he ain't going to say that. We'll question God. I was at the at Sizzler. And just got finished preaching about can these dry bones live and obedience to God. The bones got up because they obeyed the prophet. Did that. All of that preaching and just, I'm not going to even say I felt wonderful afterward. I was very sorrowful after the message for it. I was just sorrowful. But here's the thing. Went to Sizzler, sat down with pastor, saw this woman walk past me. And the Spirit of the Lord said, this is a first lady. You need to go pray for her. I was like, see? And I started questioning. I said, Lord Jesus, these people don't know me. I don't know. I mean, I had nothing but that. That sentence right there. I didn't have a word for them. I didn't have nothing. I was waiting for the big boom, you know, like, thus say the Lord, da-da-da-da-da. Nothing. Over there. I said, Pastor, the Lord told me. And then he said, well, you better go. You need to go and do what the Lord told you to do. I'm like, okay. All right. So finally, I went and just went over there and prayed for them. And I want to say this, nothing miraculous happened that I saw. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing. I'm waiting for the sky to fall, the ground to open, sparks to fly, somebody start speaking in tongues or something. Nothing. Nothing. Out of obedience, I went. And to this day, I don't know what God has done in their lives. Sat down and just felt like, okay, all right, I did it. Pastor said, this was for you. Because you preached about obedience and the dry bones got up. I said, well, okay, I'm so glad. You know, so be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. I don't know how I got on that, but always abounding, always exceeding. Go beyond the status quo. Go beyond what is expected. Jesus said, if a person asks for your coat, he said, give him 2. He said, if they asked you to go a mile, go an extra mile. Don't be stuck with the status quo. And I, like I said, I dislike saying it's difficult. It's only difficult because our flesh don't want to obey God. There's nothing good in this flesh. And I'm learning about flesh because I got a scripture. You know, you can make your flesh obey God. I'm just saying. You can make your flesh obey God. All of these things goes against the grain. We do just enough to get by. Just enough to say we're pleasing God. Just enough to say we're pleasing our pastor. Just enough, you know, to say it's not a duty. But it has to get beyond being a duty. I just read that on Facebook this morning. It has to get beyond being a duty and a desire to please him. Okay, let you marinate on that for a minute. So go beyond expected measures. That is above and beyond, more than. And then it says, what goes further? What is God telling you to do that goes further than goes, that is exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can think or imagine? What is God telling you right now that is saying, go further? The Holy Ghost, what is God telling you as a believer, as a minister, as a leader to go above and beyond? Speaking to you today to go above and beyond. So Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It says work or worker who accomplishes something. It's a deed, it's an action that carries out something, that completes its mission. If you choose to accept this mission, and anybody that knows, if you choose to accept this mission, you got to carry it out. And it's not mission impossible, it's mission possible. If you choose to accept this mission, you got to carry it out. So that carries out, completes an inner desire, intention, purpose. It's assigned by the one, capital O-N-E, to be done for his sake. It's assigned by Christ to be done for his sake. So here he is. Here's the envelope. That Christ is handing us, the envelope. Christ is handing us, saying, if you choose to accept this mission, it has to be done for the sake of the Lord. So Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, and I want to get to this part, your labor, your toil, because see, I know we don't like toiling. We don't even know what toiling is. We don't like any of that, working hard. That's what it means, working to the point where you are in tears. Can I just say that? That's really what it means. It means working hard that you are at the point of tears. For as much as you know your labor, your toiling, your labor, That makes you cry, want to give up, want to throw in a towel, make you want to say stuff unseemly. Yes, make you want to come up out yourself and say something that's just, you know, I'm trying to, listen, that's what that is. It's toiling, it's deep fatigue, extreme weariness. It is something that hits you so hard that it weakens or debilitates you. Toiling. It's fatigue, it's suffering. It's those things that are so difficult for us that we say, I'm done. Paul says, for as much as you know that your labor, your toiling, your crying, your tears, your screaming, your hollering, your fussing, come on now, you saying, Lord, I can't take this no more. All of that, oh my goodness, I just want to shout right there. You ought to clap your hands and give God some praise. Paul says, for as much as you know, you have to know that your labor, can I say this again? Your labor, your crying, your screaming, your throwing in the towel, your fussing, your complaining, that has weakened you, made you want to give up, all of that stuff, hallelujah to God, is not in vain. It's not fruitless. Oh, my, everything that I said, that's why we got to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, accomplishing. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. You got to accomplish what God is doing. Here is the envelope, the mission. If you choose to accept it, everything that you go through, hallelujah. Oh, bless the sweet name of Jesus. Everything that you go through, can I say it again? Your suffering, your grieving, habasia. Hey, glory to God. The oppression, honorabasia. Everything. People talking about you, people mistreating you, the rejection, everything that you go through in the work of the Lord is not in vain. Every tear that we cry, everything that we go through in this life, even the fears that you go through, even that, even the hesitation, everything, even when you gave up, oh, my goodness, everything that you go through, Paul says it is not fruitless. It is not in vain. It is not empty. It's not worthless. It doesn't, you know, it amounts to something. It has value. It's going to profit you in the end. Everything that we go through. So I want you to be encouraged knowing that everything that you go through, let me read this, vain. It means empty, worthless, amounting to zero, of no value, profit, labors, acts, which result in nothing, vain, fruitless, without effect. Paul says, for my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. It's not fruitless. It's not empty. It's not worthless. It amounts to something. It has value. It has profit. Come on now. Every labor, every act, everything that we go through will result in something. It's not vain, it's not fruitless, and it has an effect. Oh, my goodness. Come on, church. Clap your hands and tell God thank you. Oh, son of, hey, glory to God. It means something. So I just want you to be encouraged. I'm encouraged. It means something. Everything that we go through means something. Means something. It means something. I'm going to say this again. It means something. Let me read this. Scribes, I got to describe labor. It describes a state of discomfort or distress, trouble, difficulty, transferring the sense of primary meaning, which is beating. Listen, when you get the beat down in life, intense labor, united with trouble and toil, laboring even to the point of exhaustion, not burnout, but extreme weariness, extreme. And we ain't talking about burnout. We're talking about extreme weariness. Wow. 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 Extreme weariness. I want to read this scripture and then I'm going to pray. So he came to a city, it's in John 4, 5, and 6. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He became weary at some point. Jesus became weary at some point. Jesus became weary. But he still ministered to the woman at the well, even in his weariness. Even in his weariness. Wow. So let me say this again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, everybody, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, completed to the end. For as much as you know that your labor, your toil, your suffering, everything that you're going through is not in vain, is not fruitless in the Lord. Okay, so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I do thank you and I praise you and magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister to your people. Father, I pray, and I know, because you said that your word will not return void. It will accomplish what you have sent it to do. So, Father, I know this word has encouraged someone, has uplifted someone, has taken someone out of their comfort zone and pushed them to the next level in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are God and you're God alone. Thank you for your word that tells us, encourages us in ministry, in service to you to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work, Lord, because we know, and now we really do know that our labor, our toil and our suffering is not fruitless. Is not in vain as long as we are in you. Hey, God. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you and I magnify you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, for the ministers, for the pastors, for the leaders, for the generals, for the soldiers. In this army, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, get up. Get up. Bishop used to tell us to get up and get up quickly. We don't have a whole lot of time to be thinking about it and mulling over it and whatever the Lord has given you. He's given us this space of grace. We are still here on this planet to accomplish the mission that God has given us. So whatever that mission is, we need to be doing it. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for the mission. Thank you for the strength to accomplish it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives right now. You're the great and mighty God, and you are so worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we magnify you for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And as I said before, I know God has spoken to our hearts and our minds and our wills and our spirits, encouraging us to just go further in Him. So I pray that you have a wonderful day. I pray that you accomplish everything God has placed in your heart and in your mind. We're never too old and we're never too young to accomplish everything that God has placed in our hearts. And it is really God's desire that we grow daily and go to the next level in our understanding of Him and His Word so that we will remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in His work. All right? So I love you with the love of Jesus. Continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for Pastor. Pray for our church, Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. We love you with the love of Jesus. And we want you to know that you are purposed for godliness. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You.